Your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 2 Kings 23. Second Kings 23, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar, and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out of the grove, or he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah, and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba, and brake down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Tophet, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire unto Molech. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. And the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from thence, and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had builded for Ashtoreth in the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. And he brake in pieces the images, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he brake down, and burned the high place, and stamped it small to powder, and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres, and burned them upon the altar, and polluted it, according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Then he said, "What title is that that I see?" And the men of the city told him, "It is the sepulcher of the man of God, which came from Judah, and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel." And he said, "Let him alone, let no man move his bones. So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. And all the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars and burned men's bones upon them. And he returned to Jerusalem. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits, and the wizards, and the images, and the idols, and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah, in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and will cast off this city, Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I said, my name shall be there. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? In his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates. And King Josiah went out against him, and he slew him at Megiddo when he had seen him. And his servants carried him in a chariot dead from Megiddo and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his own sepulcher. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him and made him king in his father's stead. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. And Pharaoh Necho put him in bands at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem, and put the land to a tribute of 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold. And Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah his father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, and took Jehoahaz away. And he came to Egypt and died there. And Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give the money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and the gold of the people of the land, of everyone according to his taxation, to give it to Pharaoh Necho. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zebudah, the daughter of Pedaiah of Rumah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so you'll remember from last hour that Josiah has come off of some really bad news, that Jerusalem and Judah are going to be destroyed. But notice how that doesn't stop him from prosecuting his reformation as king. This is a wonderful example to us. Josiah doesn't sense any futility in his labor. He doesn't feel like he's doing something that's just going to be torn down anyway. He continues polishing the brass on the ship. The reforms that he institutes are more extensive than any reforms of any king before him. And they are according to the book of the law that was found and read in his hearing. In the last hour, we said that was the Pentateuch. So we heard of the threatenings and how he tore his garment. We also heard how he tore his heart as well. But now we hear of other things, other things that are spoken of in that book. And what are they? That he went on a march. Well, let's do the first thing first. He read to them, the people of God, he called them all together, and he read to them out of the book of the covenant, just like Moses did at the base of Sinai. So what did he read? Exodus 20, 21, 22, and 23. Four chapters. And then he caused them to enter into covenant with the Lord God, just like their fathers did. In other words, this is a renewal of the covenant that had taken place at Sinai. And notice who the instigator of it is, beloved. And please hold your tomatoes. It is the civil authority. The civil authority called upon the ecclesiastical authority to have the people stand and covenant with their God. And why should a civil authority be concerned about the religion in his bounds? Because if he is a promoter of false religion, he can expect his reign to last but a little. That's why. Kings that are idolaters in Scripture tend not to serve out their terms. Especially those kings that at one point the nation over which they rule had a profession of the true God. So the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and all his testimonies, statutes, with all their heart and their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. So that's the first thing, in keeping with Exodus chapter 24. The second, cleanse the house of the Lord. Take out all the appurtenances of idol worship and draw them out. Notice, not even Hezekiah had done that. Josiah goes farther in his reform than Hezekiah. Josiah obviously goes farther in his reform than Solomon, because he tore down Solomon's idolatrous works as well. And then there's one word here that's used that I want you to understand. When we hear the word grove, you hear that, the grove, in verse 4? All the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove that was in the house. Don't think that they were growing trees in the house of the Lord. That's what we think of when we think of a grove. The Hebrew word is Asherah, and it's simply a pole that was like an old ancient Near Eastern totem that they used to worship false gods with. It's a pillar, a pole, like a totem. And so Asherah, related somewhat to Ashtaroth, but a little bit different. Okay, so notice that they burned those down and they carried the ashes. They burned them down in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes to Bethel. Did you hear that? Bethel, all the way to the north. Why? Because that's where those errors came from. In other words, get them out of here and get their remains out of here. Don't let any of their ashes remain in this area, lest the people of God see those ashes and be reminded. Get them out and get them back to where they belong. Notice how much separation Josiah requires from the monuments of idolatry, as Gillespie would put it. So now he put down the idolatrous priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense around the high places. So those men, they're put down. You can no longer be priest. You have led the people of God astray. You're deposed. You're deposed from the ministry. Then also those that burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the planets, to all the host of heaven. Notice that this is exactly how Moses put that in the book of Deuteronomy. So we're hearing echoes of the Pentateuch in this. Then he brought the grove out of the house of the Lord. Same thing, the grove. That's that same word, Asherah. And he brought it to the brook Kidron. He burned it in the brook Kidron, stamped it small as powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. There's a division among commentators as to what that means. Some would say that these are the graves of the children that were burned in the fire to Molech or to Asherah. And so it was fitting that the dust of those poles were cast on those graves. Or it could just be the children of Israel, the people of Israel. One or the other. It's difficult to know exactly which. I tend to the former. He brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove the hangings for the grove. We know what a Sodomite is. We don't need to wonder about that. The definition in 17th century English is the same definition that we have today. And why were there Sodomites in and around the temple of the Lord? Because that was a part of ritual worship. Remember that ritual worship included that kind of illicit pleasure for the worshipers. And they were Sodomites, that is, that they were males, because then they couldn't bear children. Right? The problem is, when you have those kinds of relations, what are we going to do with the children? Well, some of them, as we've heard, were burned, were buried, and some of them, others, well, they didn't have to worry about that because it was an infertile act, an infecund act. Okay? We understand how far the children of Israel had gone in that when we hear about the house of the Sodomites. That sin is still condemned today, in case anybody's wondering, because there are churches that are embracing it now full on, both arms, signs on their, you know, on their front doors. Okay, the Lord will burn down those houses of Sodomites as well in his due time. Let's just remember that and stay far from such sins as that and from such temptation. All right, so now he brought the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where their priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba. And he broke down the high places. But there's something really interesting said about them. That is that although they were deposed from ever offering for the people again, they still ate at the priest's table. That is, they weren't put out so that they died. And I'm assuming that's because they were repentant. And so while they couldn't minister anymore as priests, they weren't denied their living, which they made as priests. So that, I think, is what's being said there. So then we have Tophet, the valley of the children of Hinnom, and so on, where the children were burned in the fire to the false god Molech or Milcom. Then there were other offerings that had been given by the king. Natan Melech means the gift of the king. Natan Melech, the gift of the king. And what did the king give? Chariots and horses in honor of the sun. And Josiah took them all away, burned them all down. He didn't say, wow, these chariots, they're valuable chariots. I can use them in my own army. No, he said, they're tainted. They're monuments of idolatry. We're going to burn them down. Are we getting the picture here of how far Josiah will go in righteousness against every monument of idolatry? Let me give you something that became very important during the days of the Reformation. Just before the Reformation, the people of God came to what they called the Mass. And they believed that the elements were somehow, in a magic incantation, transformed into the very body and blood of Christ, and that he was to be worshipped and glorified there in those elements. And so when they came to receive the bread, they would kneel in deference, in obeisance to a piece of bread. During the days of the Reformation, it became a very interesting discussion among the people of God as to whether or not when we come down to the table of the Lord, which was set at the front of the church like you have here, should we kneel before we sit? Not because we're worshiping the bread. We're not doing that. We understand that's an abomination. But should we kneel in reverence because of the ordinance itself? And our reforming father said, no. That kneeling, although you mean it as an act of humility, is a monument of idolatry that must be torn down. You can't do that. And so they forbade the people of God from kneeling to receive the Lord's Supper because it was a monument of idolatry. Notice Josiah is doing all of the same things. Even those things that smell of idolatry of the past, nope, they're being torn down. They're stamped to powder. They're cast either over the graves of the children of Israel or over the brook Kidron, so they can be flown out of the country in that current, or they can be shipped off to Bethel, but they're not going to remain here. Beloved, we must get the picture that God hates idolatry, and his people must hate it too, in all of its forms. False worship of any kind is idolatry. Read again the first and the second commandments. This hatred of idolatry here is on full display. Then there are things that Hezekiah left in the house from Ahaz. Josiah takes those out as well. The stuff that Manasseh had built that he didn't tear down during his reformation, Josiah takes that out as well. Break them down from thence, cast the dust into the brook Kidron. Then high places that were before Jerusalem in the Mount of Corruption. He tore down the stuff that Solomon had built for Chemosh, for Milcom, for Ashtoreth. And he broke down the images and cut down the groves and he filled their places. But he's not done yet. Now we're going north, he said. And we're going to go north to all of those high places in and around Samaria. And so they went up to Samaria then and into the northern kingdom, now having been conquered by the Assyrians. And notice the protection of the Lord that they received. There's not a word about the Assyrians trying to stop him from doing what he's doing. Politically speaking, that's almost unheard of. But the Lord goes before him in his work here. And so all of those high places in Samaria, the altar, that which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, had built, go all the way up to Bethel. Then he spies the high places that are in and around that, and they look at all of those graves from all of those priests and prophets that prophesied falsely, and they pull out all of their bones, and they burn them in fire, and then they stamp them as powder, and they cast them to the wind, with one exception. And you remember the exception. All the way back in 1 Kings, I think it's 1 Kings 13, or maybe 2 Kings, it's probably 2 Kings 13. And we have that prophet from Samaria and the other prophet that came from Judah, right? And the prophet that came from Judah prophesied concerning Josiah that he would come and do all these things. And Josiah says, whose title is that? And they say, well, this is the title of that prophet that came from Judah who said that you were going to do all these things. And he says, leave him alone. Do not disturb his bones. He's a good prophet. And then finally, oh, and by the way, we recognize what a witness that is to the resurrection, don't we? That his bones were not disturbed. His grave was not disturbed. All right, so then beyond that, we have the Passover being commanded. So all the high places in the cities of Samaria and so on. And Samaria there is just a moniker for the former northern kingdom. So now the Passover in 21. And so Exodus chapter 12, right? He read in the book of the law, Exodus chapter 12. And surely there was not holding such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah, but in the 18th year of Josiah. Notice all this is prosecuted within 1 year. It's all in the same year of his reign. That's diligence, beloved. That's labor. So then the Passover, and then not done yet. Now we're going to get to the superstitions, the wizards, the witches, the images, the idols, those with familiar spirits, the necromancers. We're going to put them all away. Every bit of it. All within 1 year. Well, beloved, that is a reformation done in lightning speed. And now we hear the lament of verse 26. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and will cast off this city, Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I said, my name shall be there. There's a point, isn't there, beloved, that you can't come back from. This is why we tell our children, don't play by the edge of the cliff. Come back from that. Because there are things that we do, temporally speaking and, beloved, spiritually speaking, where we cannot come back from the hot displeasure of God. Now, we understand that there was a faithful remnant there, that the Lord was with them. The book of Ezekiel teaches us this, that the Lord was a little sanctuary for them in the land of their captivity and so on. But for a very small remnant. But for the nation itself, there was no returning from what they had done. We live in an era which says everybody gets a second chance. No, a third. No, a fourth. Ad infinitum chance. But this is not how God rules the world. And it's not how he ruled in the days of Josiah. If there could have been a reformation that would have pacified God in his wrath, it would have been this one. And it did not. So, beloved, let us see the seriousness. And we read this chapter, and we may hear some things in this chapter that we had no idea were going on. There's still things in the temple that belong to the days of Ahaz that are still there. Hezekiah didn't take it out. Manasseh in his reformation didn't take it out. Josiah took it out. There are things that are revealed in this chapter that we may not have even surmised had been going on, but the Lord knew. And they had gone past the point of no return. All right, so the chapter ends then with Pharaoh Necho going out against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates. That's a long journey for Necho. He must have had quite an army. And he did, it seems, because not only did he take care of Assyria at that point and pushed him back, but he also took care of Judah and killed Josiah. Josiah was taken away early, as we said last hour, because the Lord was hasting to judgment. And so this is a kindness to King Josiah, although it was most likely based on some foolishness and hubris on his part. So then his son Jehoahaz, the people of the land, put him in charge. Well, of course, that's not going to work for Pharaoh. He's just conquered. He's just killed the king. He's going to replace him. So he arrests him, ships him off to Egypt, and puts Eliakim, whose name he changes to Jehoiakim. Eliakim is, God will establish him. Jehoiakim is Jehovah will establish. And so then he made him, son of Josiah, king in his room. And what did he do then? He taxed the city. It's a very meager tax, not much money, even according to ancient Near Eastern standards. But it was just to show that I'm in charge here. And so Jehoiakim took the tax of the people. Well, it says that both of these men did evil in the sight of the Lord. 3 months for Jehoahaz and 11 years for Jehoiakim before he's replaced with another king by Nebuchadnezzar. And we'll wait until the next chapter to get to that. With that then,